And what time did the afternoon shift start?
1,400 hours.
Okay, and regular increment?
2 p.m.
2 p.m. Till what time?
I believe probably midnight.
Now, during your intention to shortly after 10 p.m., were you directed to go to an area of the city?
Yes.
And where were you supposed to go?
The 4100 block of South Pulaski.
Now, did you go there by yourself or with somebody else?
With a partner.
And what was your partner's name?
Carl Brasek.
And is he also an evidence technician?
No.
And what was his role?
He's a forensic investigator.
And did the two of you go together then to 41st and Pulaski?
Yes.
And when you arrived there, what did you do?
Well, we did a preliminary investigation and placed some markers down.
And when you say a preliminary investigation, does that involve a walkthrough?
We did a courtesy look, but we're pretty much on standby.
Okay. And then at some point, were you given the okay to go ahead and process the scene?
Yes.
And after that happened, did you and Officer Brasek then do that?
Yes.
And as part of processing the scene, is one of your duties to take photographs?
Yes.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as People's Exhibit Number 63 through 121. May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Can you look at these photographs, 63 through 121, and tell me whether or not you recognize?
Through 121 will be stricken. They will be moved into evidence. Could I have the attorneys over here for a second?
Exhibit 227 for identification and ask you whether or not you recognize that.
Do you recognize that?
Yes.
And what is that?
A map of the area.
And that's a map of the area that you went to process, is that correct?
That's correct.
Judge, I guess I'll publish some of the photographs.
Certainly, go ahead.
Officer Judah, people can such degree, this is just how you identify your photographs before you start, is that correct?
Yes.
64, is that an overview of the scene?
Well, that's an overview of the area that the shots were fired and Laquan McDonald had collapsed.
And can you explain to the jury, what are the little yellow markers?
The yellow markers, the tint or the tents, is it describes or it marks the fired evidence, also metal fragments, there was blood stain, and also a knife.
And so these are markers that you place down before you pick up evidence, is that correct?
That's correct.
And the numbered markers that evening represented what?
The fired cartridge casings.
And people 65, what's depicted in this photograph?
It's just a different view of exactly what I just said.
People 67, what are you showing in that photograph?
Well, it's just another different view, and it shows a little bit more southbound.
And people 69, what are you trying to show in this particular photograph?
The vehicle that the officers that were involved in the shooting, in the proximity of where they had stopped.
In this particular photograph, you're actually taking it from a different direction than the previous photographs I just showed you, correct?
Yes.
And so this photograph would be taken facing eastbound, is that correct?
Southeast.
Is it correct that the Dunkin' Donuts there was on the east side of the street?
Yes.
And again, People's Exhibit Number 70, that's taken facing what direction?
East.
People's Exhibit Number 71 is another area that you examined, is that correct?
Yes.
Now, in this photo, it shows that the markers have letters on them, is that correct?
That's correct.
What did the letters signify?
A was a metal fragment. B was the blood stains that you can see in this exhibit.
And people 76, that was taken facing what direction?
Westbound.
People 78 is a photograph of what?
The vehicle that the officers were occupying prior to the shooting.
And was that Officer Gaffney and McElliott's vehicle?
No.
And was that Officer Van Dyke's and Walsh's vehicle?
Yes.
And People 79, is that another photograph of Officer Van Dyke's vehicle?
Yes.
Exhibit number 81, whose vehicle is this?
McElliott and his partner.
And people's exhibit number 82, what's depicted in this photograph?
Damage to the front passenger tire on their vehicle.
And people's 83 is what?
It's another view of it with a ruler.
Okay, and as an ET, why is it that you measure certain things?
It gives a perspective of how big something is or how, you know, the size or...
people's 84 is a picture of what?
That is a knife slash into the front passenger windshield of the vehicle.
And again, that's Officer Nicolia's vehicle?
That's correct.
And People's 85 shows a measurement, is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, People's number one, what are you trying to show in People's, or People's number 86, which is marker number one?
That shows one of the fire cartridge casings.
Okay. And can you tell the ladies and gentlemen of the jury, what is a fire cartridge case?
Fire cartridge case is when you use a semi-automatic and you discharge it, it ejects from the port of the weapon.
So prior to discharge, what's actually inside of that cartridge case?
Lead.
Would it be commonly referred to as a bullet?
Yes.
People's 2 is another cartridge case?
That's correct.
And 88 is number 3?
Another
how
one?
Many,
yes.
How many cartridge cases did you actually pick up at night?
16.
Showed you 16 cartridges, is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, once you photographed those cartridges, did you actually collect them?
Well, after we photographed the cartridge casings and the rest of the evidence and videotape, then we recovered it.
And what do you do when you recover the cartridges?
We put it inside a fired evidence envelope and secure it with the crime scene marker number.
Your Honor, I have the lights on.
The lights on, sir. Thank you.
So I'm going to show you what's being marked People's Exhibit number 11 through 24. Can you look at these exhibits and tell me whether or not you recognize them?
To answer the question.
Do you recognize them?
Yes.
And what do you recognize them to be?
These are the fire cartridge casings 1 and then 4 through 16.
And why did you make a distinction with 1, 4 through 16?
The location.
And where were they recovered from?
These were recovered at 4112 South Pulaski on the street.
On what side of the roadway?
12 would have been on the west side of the street.
Okay. I'm going to show you what's been marked as People's 26 and People's 27. Do you recognize these exhibits?
Yes.
And what do you recognize them to be?
Crime scene marker 2 and 3.
And what was contained in crime scene marker 2 and 3?
The two more fire cartridge casings that were recovered at 4113 South Pulaski.
And those were recovered from the east side of the roadway, correct?
That's correct.
And so the only reason that you packaged them separately is because of what side of the roadway they were found on?
That's correct.
And do they appear to be in substantially the same condition today as when you collected them on October 20th of 2014?
Well, I can't see them, but they're still sealed.
And are your markings up?
Could I have the attorneys over here for a second?
condition as when you package them?
I can't see them, but I'll assume yes.
And you actually put your markings on the envelope so people know what that you marked them, correct?
I sealed them, and yes.
Okay. And, Judge, I believe the defense would stipulate these are the same cartridge cases that were collected on that date.
Yes. Yeah. All right, that stipulation is allowed and moved into evidence. Thank you very much.
Now, sir, you also that evening then collected certain items that were at the markers, and the markers were marker A, D, E, F, and G. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what were those items?
Metal fragments.
And so, in your mind, what is a metal fragment?
Well, a metal fragment is a piece of a fired bullet.
So I'm going to show you People's Exhibit number 107, which is D. What's actually shown in this particular exhibit?
A metal fragment.
And that's the round circle right underneath the top of the scale, is that correct?
Yes.
And E, what's shown right in the underneath the scale in E?
Another metal fragment.
F, what's shown?
Another metal fragment.
G.
Another metal fragment.
And after you photographed each of those metal fragments, then you collected them, is that correct?
Eventually.
Okay. I'm going to show you what's been marked as People's 29, 30, 31, 32, and 33 for identification. Would you look at the photograph, or would you look at the exhibit and tell me whether or not you recognize the exhibit?
Yes.
And how do you recognize the exhibit?
Because this is my writing, and then I sealed it, and it's got my name, initials, and a date.
And does that appear to be substantially the same condition today as when you collected it on October 20th of 2014?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. State, did you hear that?
Yes, Your Honor. So I ask that People's 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, the identification mark be stricken and admitted.
All right, those, pursuant to that stipulation, the identification marks will be stricken. They will be admitted into evidence.
Now, Officer, what is shown in People's Exhibit number 113?
That's a view of 40th Street. I'm showing westbound in Karloff.
And were you directed near that intersection?
Yes.
And someone asked you to go there and take photographs, correct?
That's correct.
People's 114 is just showing the street sign for that location, correct?
That's correct.
What's depicted in People's 115?
This is just a westbound view. I'm sorry, eastbound view.
Of
40th and Karloff.
Of the intersection?
Yes.
And then after you went to that location, were you directed to another location to take photographs?
Yes.
And where did you go?
4101 South Kildare.
And what's located there?
It's a truck yard.
And when you got to the truck yard, what, if anything, did you do?
Took a photo of a link fence that had a hole in it.
Showing you People's number 116, is this the photograph that you took?
Yes.
And with the hole in the fence, was it the bottom of the fence?
Yes.
Did you find any other holes in the fence?
No.
Now, once you completed your photographs at the scene, what did you do?
after completing the photographs, we recovered the evidence.
And then after we recovered the evidence, or strike that, prior to actually picking up all the evidence, did you also take a video of the crime scene?
Yes.
And the video of a crime scene, why is it that you take that?
Well, that's state law on police shootings and homicides.
And prior to coming to court today, you actually had occasion to watch the crime scene video, is that correct?
Yes.
And does the crime scene video that you were shown accurately depict the video that was taken that night and the scene that was processed?
Yes.
And Your Honor, asked to admit the crime scene video, which is shown as People's 25 and has to be published for the jury.
Any objections?
No.
The identification marks will be stricken. It'll be moved into evidence, and you'll be allowed to publish.
Your Honor, could I ask the lights to turn down?
Sure.
Video?
Listening to testimony from technician at the scene of the crime when Laquan McDonald was shot to death. Obviously, that's a big job. Once anything happens, it has to be thoroughly investigated, and especially when it comes to police shootings in Chicago, and this being one of the most controversial when it went down in 2014, and the fact that the public didn't really get full wind of it until 2015 after various legal maneuvers were made, and the video, the police dash cam video, was released to the public in 2015, a year after the crime, and it wasn't until then that police officer Jason Van Dyke was charged with murder.
Proceed then, please. Thank you, Stan.
went there at the scene, where did you go?
After we completed the entire scene, both photographs at both locations, we went to the hospital.
And why did you go to the hospital?
Because we photograph and we print to identify who's in, you know, who's the offender on the case.
You mean Laquan McDonald?
Yes.
So you went to the hospital and to take his fingerprints?
That's correct.
And to photograph the body?
Yes.
Did you collect any items of evidence when you went to the hospital?
Yes.
And do you recall what those were?
Some more metal fragments.
And where did you receive the metal fragments from?
Well, we found one in, that was caught up in his sweater, and then we also got some from Detective Johnson.
And I'm going to show you what's been marked as People's Exhibit 35 for identification. Can you tell me whether or not you recognize that?
Yes.
And what do you recognize that to be?
This is the fragment that we recovered from his sweater.
So once you got to the hospital, officials gave you Laquan's clothing, is that correct?
No, it was in the room that he was attended to.
Okay, but had somebody already taken his clothing off when you got here?
Yes.
Okay, you didn't do that, correct?
No.
And this metal fragment fell out of his clothing?
I believe we picked it out.
Okay. So when you went there, you actually collected his clothing, is that correct?
No, we don't collect the clothing on a homicide or, a fatality or something like that. It goes with the ME, goes to the morgue with the body.
Okay. And did you actually take photographs of that clothing?
Yes.
Exhibit number 118, do you recognize that?
Yes.
And those are a pair of pants that you took photographs of that night?
Yes.
That came from Laquan, is that correct?
That's correct.
People's number 119, what's shown in that photograph?
His underwear.
People's 120, what is that?
The black sweater.
Is it also referred to often as a hoodie, black hoodie?
Yes.
And people's 121, what is that?
I think that was a jacket or a light coat or something like that.
And you photographed those photos, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then when you were on the scene there at the hospital, you were encountered a detective by the name of William Johnson?
That's correct.
And when you saw him, did he give you a piece of evidence?
Yes.
And what was it that he gave you?
A container with some more metal fragments.
And I'm going to show you what's been marked as People's Exhibit number 36 for identification. Do you recognize that?
Yes.
And what is that?
This is the container we received from Detective Johnson at the Mount Sinai Hospital.
And how many fragments appear to be in that container? That you went to prior to going to the hospital, is that correct?
Yes.
On the right-hand side of the photo would be the area closest to the shooting?
That's correct.
And the top, sort of in the middle, is 41st and Karloff, is that correct?
I'm sorry, what was that? Look,
41st and Karloff.
No, 40th
and Karloff. Thank you. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then
over on the left-hand side of the photograph, right where the right line begins, that's the area of the truck yard that you went to.
Yes.
And that's where you photographed that photo of a hole in the fence?
That's correct.
Now, officer, when you were on the scene that night, you also collected the knife, is that correct?
Yes.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as People's Exhibit number 28 for identification. Will you tell me whether or not you recognize that?
Yes.
And what do you recognize that to be?
This was the letter A, C that we used as a crime scene for the knife that was recovered.
And the letter C is just a yellow marker, correct?
Yes.
Judge, the statement that People's number 28 for identification be amended with the identification mark stricken.
Any objection?
No.
Thank you. All right. The identification marks of People's number 28 will be stricken. It will be moved at that place.
Judge, can I have a moment, please?
Sure. Stricken, it will be moved into
evidence. People that the People's Exhibit number 36 for identification be admitted with the four identification marks stricken, that's the metal fragments remaining absent.
People's number 36 will also have the identification mark stricken, and that evidence will be moved into that will be moved into evidence.
The people that have the People's 29, 30, 31, 32, 33 be admitted, and the identification mark stricken. Those are the metal fragments.
That will be the order, and the identification marks will be stricken.
And then, Your Honor, again, I believe that the state has already asked that people 63 through 121 be admitted, and you have that before I show them, and that people's exhibit number 227, which is the map, be admitted and the identification mark stricken.
Any objections to the map being admitted into evidence?
No, Your Honor.
All right. The identification marks on the map will be stricken, and that will be moved into evidence.
Okay, if I can have a moment, Judge.
Absolutely.
I have no further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you. Cross-examination. As many as you need.
I apologize that this is maybe relevant. Everybody knows this, but officer, you numbered those cartridge cases 1 through 16, correct?
Yes.
And that's how you found them, right?
That's correct.
You started at one area and you worked your way up, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. They don't indicate any way the chronological order of how those bullets were fired, right?
Not unless, I saw a video before I did it, but I did not.
You did not?
No.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any redirect, State?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you. Evidence technician, you can step down. Thank you. All right, State, call your next witness, please.
And we will call Roberto
detectives.
And pursuant to your role during that death investigation of Laquan McDonald, do you have occasion to see Officer Van Dyke that evening in those early morning hours?
Yes.
And can you tell us where you saw Officer Van Dyke?
Initially at the scene and then back at Area Central.
And do you see him in court today, sir?
Yes, I do.
Can you tell us where he is seated and what he's wearing in court today?
He's seated next to the counsel in a brown suit. Blue shirt.
May the record reflect the inquiry identification of the defendant?
The record will so reflect, counsel.
When you saw, you said you first saw Officer Van Dyke at the scene and later at the station, correct?
Correct.
When you saw Officer Van Dyke at the station, was he dressed in uniform?
Yes, he was.
And did he have this firearm pursuant to his uniform with him at that time?
Yes.
Did you give anyone directions to recovering that firearm from Officer Van Dyke?
Yes, at the station, his duty weapon was recovered by the evidence technician.
And were you present for that, sir?
Yes.
And what else was recovered in addition to Officer Van Dyke's duty weapon at the station in your presence?
The magazine from his duty weapon and ammunition that was inside his reloaded magazine.
And so how many magazines were collected from Officer Van Dyke?
One
reloaded magazine that was in the gun that I recall.
Okay. And then was there another clutch magazine that was clutched?
I don't recall.
Okay. Sir.
First, for the record, I'm going to show you People's Exhibit Number 1, which is a firearm. You checked out to make sure that it's not loaded and it's clear.
It's unloaded and it's clear.
And it does not have a magazine in it, is that correct?
No, it does not.
And there is not a bullet in the chamber.
Could you put a slide back on that, officer, detective?
Yep.
No, it's clear.
Thank you. Do you recognize people who did number 1, sir?
Yes.
How do you recognize it?
This is Officer Jason Van Dyke's duty weapon. It's a Smith & Wesson 9mm semi-automatic weapon, model 5943.
And it's People's Exhibit Number 1 in the same or substantially the same condition as it was when it was collected from Officer Van Dyke October 20th, 2014?
Yes.
Now, you said it's a semi-automatic weapon. Is that correct?
Yes.
Tell us what you mean by that.
Shoots multiple rounds of ammunition.
And are you aware of how many rounds People's Exhibit Number 1 can hold, sir?
Yeah.
How many?
15 plus one in the chamber.
So a total of 16, sir?
Yes.
Showing you what's been marked as People's Exhibit Number 2. To recognize what that is. Do you need to open it?
Yes.
For the record, opening is number 2 for the witness.
So, manila envelope containing 9mm live rounds.
And when you say a live round, that is a round that has not been fired, is that correct?
That's correct.
And how many rounds are contained in People's Exhibit Number 2, sir?
I have to count. Magazine clip for the 9mm Smith & Wesson.
And was that recovered from Officer Van Dyke on October 20th, 2014?
Yes.
And is that in the same, substantially the same condition as it was when it was recovered? Excuse me, your presence.
Yes.
Now I'm going to show you People's Exhibit Number 4. Can you tell us what that is?
Another magazine for the Smith & Wesson 9mm.
Is People's Exhibit Number 4 in the same or substantially the same condition as it was when it was recovered from Officer Van Dyke?
Yes.
Now, indicated that one of the clips contained 14 live rounds with one in the chamber.
Yes.
Do you know which one? 304?
Don't know which one.
And then one was completely empty, is that correct?
Correct.
The people have moved to admit People's Exhibits 1, 2, 3, and 4 and ask that the identification marks be stricken.
Any objection?
No objection.
People's number 1, 2, 3, and 4 will have the identification marks stricken, and they will be moved into evidence. Proceed, State.
Question 7. Nothing further from the witness,
Your Honor. Thank you. Thank you. Cross-examination, Mr. Hurd.
Very briefly.
Take as much time as you need.
Detective, you recovered this Jason Van Dyke's weapon, is that correct?
Evidence technician Philip Ryder did. It was recovered in my presence.
Okay. And it's routine practice in every police-involved shooting for the guns to be recovered from the shooting officers.
Objection, right? Relevance.
Overruled.
Yes, it is.
Any redirect, State?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Detective. State, call your next witness, please.
Number 15 at this point. We've heard from various police officers. What we couldn't see this morning was Jason Van Dyke, the defendant's former partner, testifying. The judge wouldn't allow the cameras in, but he, at that point, apparently gave a very vivid description with a knife and was able to show how Laquan McDonald, the victim who was shot 16 times by Officer Van Dyke, had moved his arm as if to move with that weapon, move with that knife. Apparently it was very dramatic, but that particular movement was not picked up by the dash cam video. The officer replied that, well, from his perspective, it looked different than what you would have seen on the camera. And we're waiting for another 15th witness to be sworn in. Police officers who testified yesterday said that they had just been simply waiting for someone to arrive with a taser to tase McDonald. They did not feel that they were in any danger in terms of their lives being threatened. But then under cross-examination by the defense, admitted that once McDonald began running with that knife, the threat level did increase. And on the stand today, the former partner of Van Dyke said that his fear was McDonald was going to be running into that, there's a Burger King right there, running in there with that knife, and then he changed direction and headed toward the Dunkin' Donuts, felt people could be in danger if he got in there with a knife. Of course, Jason Van Dyke, the officer on trial, didn't hesitate long before getting out of the vehicle. 6 seconds, we understand, before he opened fire, shooting 16 times, killing McDonald.
Recall Officer Rivera. Raise your hand. Do you solemnly testimony you're about to give before this honorable court and jury show the truth, the whole truth, and the truth about the guy?
Yes, I do.
Also, you have a seat. The seat's adjustable. The microphone's live, so pull your seat up to the microphone. Speak into the microphone. Everybody will be able to hear your testimony, and it will be greatly appreciated. Thank you. All right, proceed, Steve.
Thank you. Sir, would you state your name and spell your last name for the court reporter?
My name is Victor L. Rivera, R-I-V-E-R-A.
Are you currently employed?
I am retired.
And where are you retired from?
The Chicago Police Department.
How long were you employed by the Chicago Police Department?
36 years.
And when was it that you retired?
October 14, 2017.
So, sir, directing your attention back to October 21st of 2014, were you working that day?
Yes, I was.
Do you recall what shift you were assigned to?
The day shift.
What time did that start?
From 6 to 4.
And what time does it end?
4 o'clock.
And do you recall what was your assignment on that particular day?
I was assigned to the Cook County Morgue's office.
Okay. Now, how long had you been assigned to the Cook County Morgue?
Approximately 4 years.
Okay. Can you tell the ladies and gentlemen on the jury, what are your duties that you're assigned to the morgue?
The Chicago Police Department has an office at the Cook County Morgue, which includes a forensic investigator, evidence technicians, and 4 detectives. My job there is, when I arrive there in the morning, I get a copy of the list of the deceased persons on the list, and then I, at which time I notice which cases are going to be belonging to me. And it, once I know what cases I'm going to be dealing with, I go back to the post room or the autopsy room. I'll talk to the doctor concerning the case I have with them. And during that conversation, the medical examiner will tell me what kind of evidence, physical evidence, they're going to give me that they're going to recover from the deceased person at, during the day.
So one of your jobs is actually to collect any evidence that might be on or in the body of a deceased person, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, direct your attention to October 21st, when you assigned the case of Laquan McDonald.
Yes, I was.
And when you arrived that morning, did you learn that the autopsy was going to take place that day?
Yes, I did.
And pursuant to your duties, then, were you responsible for collecting from the pathologist any evidence that might have been found in or on his body?
Yes.
And did you do that that day?
Yes, I did.
Now, I'm going to show you what has been marked People's Exhibit number 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61 and 62. When you look at these envelopes, and tell me whether or not you recognize the envelopes.
Police Department ID number, report number. They also have my writing. It also has, it has the doctor's writing in the front explaining what kind of evidence inside the sealed bullet envelope. And also in the back, it has my Chicago Police Evidence Integrity Seal, which also has my initials and the date that I received it.
So when you actually received the envelope, it's actually open, is that correct?
When I received the envelope, no, they're sealed by the doctor.
Okay. And then do you put an additional seal on it?
I put my evidence integrity seal on it across the back. And I also put my initials and a date.
And what's actually contained in the People's Exhibit number 53 through
4? You had numerous bullets, fragments, and copper jackets.
And those were all items given you by the pathologist that day, is that correct?
That's correct.
And once you have recovered those items from the pathologist, what is it that you do with them?
Once we you receive all that evidence, I go back to the police room. Like I said, I put my integrity seal on them, sign them. I'll inventory them, putting them in the system. And each item is given an inventory number, which is able to be, could be traced to this case.
And did you do all of that on October 21st, 2014, as it pertains to the particular exhibit?
Yes, I did.
And does it appear to be in substantially the same condition today, each one of these packages, as they were when you obtained them from the doctor?
Yes, they are.
Judge, I ask that 53 through... Yes, Your Honor. That is correct. That they be admitted in the identification marks written.
Okay. All right. The exhibits number 53 through 62 will have the identification marks stricken. They will be moved into evidence. State.
Sir, did you also, were you responsible for collecting the clothing from Laquan McDonald?
Yes, I was.
And once you collected that clothing, what did you do with it?
Once I was back there and the doctor told me what clothing I was going to take, I documented the clothing, and I put it in a bag, and I sealed that bag, and I took that same evidence, I took it into the police room to inventory it.
And when you put the clothing into the bag, are they in separate bags, or is all the clothing in one big bag?
All the clothing goes in one big bag.
And now, sir, you indicated that you're retired. Prior to today, I had a conversation with you. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And at the time, you asked whether or not you could be receive a witness fee or anything like that. Is that correct?
Oh, yes.
And you asked whether or not you could receive mileage?
Yes.
And you were told that we would check in to see what Cook County normally does. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So as today, you haven't received anything for showing up today?
No.
But you're hopeful in the future you might somehow receive mileage?
I hope so.
Nothing else, Your Honor.
Thank you. Cross-examination, Mr. Hill.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Great.
You testified that you recovered some evidence from the body of the deceased, Mr. McDonald, in this case, correct?
I received the evidence.
Okay. And then you inventoried that evidence?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And did you also inventory, you talked about clothing.
Yes.
Do you remember, as you said, that there were clothing?
Was there whatever the time of the year was, you know, like coat, shirt, pants, t-shirt, underwear, shoes.
Okay. And then the contents, anything else that might be within the pants or the jacket?
No.
Do you know if there was any other, let's check that. Laquan McDonald had a CTA disabled member's card on him.
You may be able to tie this up later on.
Yes, and I don't know if he remembers that or not.
But if he does remember, he'll be able to tie it up later on. Okay, fine. Overruled at this time, subject to a motion to strike later on. Go ahead.
Laquan McDonald had a disabled individual CTA card that was in his pants the night of the shooting. It was inventoried, and I guess my question is, was that inventoried by you?
I have no knowledge of that.
Okay.
Nothing
based on that, Your
Honor. I don't know.
No question.
Okay, thank you. And nothing based on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Call your next witness, please. Can I have the attorneys over here just briefly for scheduling?
And where is that located?
Quantico, Virginia.
And how long have you been employed by the FBI?
12 years.
And And the unit, the forensic video unit that you work in, have you been there for the entire 12 years?
Yes, I have.
Can you explain for the ladies and gentlemen of the jury, what are your duties there at the lab?
I'm an electronic engineer doing forensic video examinations.
And what does a forensic video examination consist of?
What I do is the field agent sends video into our evidence control. I would go down and check out or sign out the evidence. Then I would perform a forensic video examination in accordance with what the field agent requests. Once I've completed that forensic examination, I prepare the original evidence and any results from that examination, take it back to evidence control, just send back to the field agent.
Now, sir, have you had training?
Pardon me?
Have you been trained?
Yes, I have.
And what kind of training did you receive?
We're an accredited lab, so we have documented training, which includes classes and on-job training, which is monitored by a senior certified examiner.
And is your work peer-reviewed?
Yes, it is.
Can you explain to ladies and gentlemen on the jury what that means?
We have two types of reviews. We have an admin review and a technical review. Admin review is checks all of our documentation and makes sure it's correct. The technical review reviews all the forensic work we do and make sure it's all correct in accordance with the electronic communication.
And you indicated that your lab in Monaco is accredited, is that correct?
That's correct.
And do you have any idea how long the lab has been accredited?
It was accredited in January of 2007.
Now, Director, how many forensic video examinations have you completed since you've been with the FBI?
Well, total examinations, I've done several hundred examinations, which includes performing the examinations, assisting with the examinations, and reviewing examinations.
And have you ever been qualified to testify as an expert in the area of forensic video examiner?
Yes, I have.
And how many times?
Four times I qualified as a forensic expert, and then one time I was assistant.
And is that both in state and federal court, or just federal court?
Both state and federal court.
And, Your Honor, this time I'd ask the witness to be tendered as an expert qualified to testify as a forensic video examiner.
Thank you. Well, any voir dire examination?
No objection, no voir dire.
All right, I find that, is it special agent?
No, it is, sir.
Are you a regular agent?
No, I'm a forensic video examiner.
Okay. I find that Mr. Mark Messick is qualified to be an expert in the area of forensic video examination.
Now, sir, prior to coming to court today, did you receive from the FBI a dash cam video involving an incident that took place October 20th of 2014?
Yes, I did.
And as part of your work there at the FBI lab, did you have an occasion to use your training as a forensic video examiner to do anything with that particular video?
This particular video?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
And so, sir, can you explain to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury, what was the first thing that you did with the video?
Well, the request requested that I do a process the video for enhancement to clear and sharpen the image of individuals in the video. It also requested that I put arrows on the video to show where I thought rounds hit, and also one of the videos we slowed down, or actually two of the videos were slowed down, so you could see it more clearly.
And, sir, people's number 8 for identification, which is the video, let me show you a video here.
you tell me whether or not you recognize that video?
Yes, I do.
And how do you recognize it?
Well, it's got a laboratory number on it. It has a specimen number, and it has my initial on it.
And this was an actual disc that you created from the original dash cam video. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Now, you had an opportunity, obviously, then to look at it electronically, correct?
Yes.
And that you again looked at it today prior to coming into court electronically, correct?
Yes, I did.
Your Honor, they would ask that people's number 8 for identification be admitted in the identification mark stricken.
Okay. All right. People's number 8 will have the identification mark stricken. It will be moved into evidence, and you'll be allowed to publish.
Okay. So starting at this point in People's Exhibit number 8, prior to this point of the video, what is actually on the video?
This particular video was, there was nothing, or this part, there was nothing done to it other than adding a counter on the bottom of the screen for accuracy and for lining up other videos in the sequence.
Okay, but if on People's 8, the entire video, right before this starts, we actually have the dash cam video, the original one, correct?
Without yes, I do. Yes.
And in this particular one, all that you did was add the counter at the bottom, correct?
That is correct.
Now, at the bottom of this where it starts, is when you actually have the one with a counter, correct?
Say again, please.
The second sequence here is one where you added the counter?
Yes, I added the counter, and this was when I started processing the video.
Okay. Now, the counter, that's just the time frame that you use, correct?
Yes, it was. The purpose of the counter was to line up the sequence in all the video sections I did.
So the counter doesn't necessarily mean that this is 30 seconds from the time something else happened, correct?
What the counter does is, in one second section of the video, if something happens in that, if you go to that same time period in the next video, the same thing happens.
Okay, I asked you a bad question. I guess the question really is, you picked the starting point for the counter, correct?
Yes, I did.
I'm sorry, just a point of explanation. When you say counter, actually these are marks or benchmarks that would be able to correlate with different videos, different video features. So you could say number 10, just like a mile marker, 10 on one would be 10 on another. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you. And both sides are allowed to ask questions concerning that point of clarification.
Okay. Sir, in this particular, the type of counter that you used was a time counter, correct?
Yes.
And so I'm going to play People's Number 8 starting at this process video. Watch this.
and gentlemen of the jury, what was it that you did to that segment of the video to enhance?
The previous?
Yeah, what you just watched.
Yes. What I did, I put a oval mask over the victim, and then I enhanced the video inside that mask by applying what we call levels and unsharp mask.
And that just makes the oval highlight that you see around Laquan McDonald, correct?
Yes.
And then the other thing that you did was that you added arrows, is that correct?
That's correct.
And how was it that you did that?
What I did was I placed a layer of transparent video on top of the other video, and then I placed arrows onto that transparent video so just the arrows would show up and not anything else in that layer. And that allowed me to adjust the position, the time, and the length of the arrows.
And how were you able to determine where it was that you were going to put those arrows?
I had assistance with a ballistic section of the FBI, a gentleman come over and helped me. Plus, I had the capability of slowing the video down, expanding it greatly, and watch it back and forth by frame over and over again.
As you sit here today, do you have any idea how many times that you watched the video?
I would say a couple hundred times.
And when you indicated that you put like this other video as an overlay, is it basically just like putting a transparent piece of paper on top of a picture so that you can add things to it?
That's correct.
Now, I'm going to have you watch the next segment of the video here.
Thank you.
to enhance that particular segment of case number 8?
Judge, may I introduce a cyber briefly?
Yes.
You're watching our continuing Inside the Courtroom coverage of the murder trial for Jason Van Dyke. We'll go back into this as soon as they start up again with a brief pause they're doing here. But it's an interesting case in the sense that some would think it would be a slam dunk for conviction because there is police video of the murder scene, what is being called a murder scene. Of course, the defense is saying it wasn't murder. Officer Jason Van Dyke was doing his civic duty, doing what his job entitles him to do. There was a suspect running with a knife, and he felt there was danger. There was going to be danger to the public, possibly to other officers, so he fired. The thing is, he fired 16 times. So the prosecution is underlining that, also underlining that there were a number of other officers at that scene who did not fire and simply stayed back and were waiting for an officer to arrive on scene with a taser to take McDonald down in that fashion. That officer arrived with a taser exactly a minute after Jason Van Dyke, Officer Van Dyke, had fired 16 times. Laquan McDonald was there lying on the ground. Why he shot 16 times, the defense probably is going to have a difficult time explaining that, but we understand they're also going to be bringing in expert witnesses to talk about the psychology, potentially, of what it's like to be a police officer, and if from Van Dyke's perspective, he was seeing things from an angle that looked like this was going to be an ultimate risk for life here. That's the point they're going to try to make in defense of him, because in opening statements they said this wasn't murder, the way the prosecution has set this out. Laquan McDonald was, we now know, high on drugs, PCP at the time, was not listening apparently to officers, would not drop his knife, and instead when officers chasing him on foot, following closely by, at first we've heard already testimony from an officer yesterday, McGillicott, who had gotten out, his patrol officer was following on foot while his partner was in the squad car coming up behind or keeping a light on McDonald, and he kept following, and he said he did point his own weapon at McDonald when he saw the teenager put out a knife. But they determined that as long as they kept their distance, they'd call for help and get somebody there with a taser. But again, by the time the taser arrived, McDonald was already fatally shot 16 times. What would induce a police officer to do that? The prosecution is trying to make this look like it was racially motivated. Here he saw a black kid. This was, he knew he'd been doing up to no good because of reports of earlier problems. But so far, the defense is trying to keep up and saying, with its cross-examination and whatnot, saying that no, this was just a situation where they feared the direction that McDonald was now running with that knife. People could be in danger at an area Burger King, at an area Dunkin' Donuts. We're going to go back in now and listen as they continue.
The segment that we just watched is exactly the same as the previous section, except I slowed the playback speed down one quarter. So it's playing back at one quarter the speed of the video in his previous sequence.
Now, so when you say one quarter speed, at what speed is the actual video playback?
Is playing about 7.5 frames per second. Normal video plays at 29.97 frames per second or 30 frames per second.
So when you say normal video, the video that you first received from the FBI, that was about 29.97 frames per second, correct?
Yes.
And that's what you consider normal video speed?
That's considered normal video speed. It's where the video stops flickering and you perceive the video to be fluid motion.
And if you were...
I'm sorry, point of clarification. You got all these numbers in. When you say it's a quarter speed, does that relate to time too? So a 4-second video, once you reduce it by one quarter, would be a one, would it be the opposite way. A 1-second video You reduce it by four. Would it be a four-second video?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, so it's 4-to-1 ratio. All right, good enough. And both sides are allowed. You can go into your frames.
Thank you.
Both sides can do that.
And, sir, if you were to have a video that's 60 frames a second, is that a better video than a video that's 30 frames a second?
The normal eye doesn't perceive much better than 30 frames per second because that's fluid motion. It's where flickering stops.
And then is there one more segment on the video here? Or is it, was that the end of your video?
No, there's one more. Slowed down section, except the counter was removed.
sir, prior to coming in to court today, we asked you to watch some clips. Is that correct?
Yes.
And those were actually clips of this video that you had in hand, correct?
That's correct.
And People's Exhibit 173 Can you see that on your screen?
No.
That's affecting me one more.
Excuse me, one moment. Defense, you want to come up here, please?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, go ahead. All right, don't video this if the jury's not going to see it. All right.
So, this is what we have marked as People's Exhibit number 173 for identification. We looked at this in the office today prior to coming into the courtrooms. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And this was a clip from the video that you worked on People's Exhibit?
Yes. That's correct.
And how did you make that determination?
I
like I said earlier, I had a gentleman from the FBI's ballistics section come over and help me with it. Some of the shots were more obvious than others, where puff of smoke was obvious, and I would go look for that, and then...
Judge, I'm going to object beyond this witness's very expertise.
Lay the foundation, state, if you can, that he's an expert in bullet entering into bodies, and he's done the examinations on them, not on videos.
And, sir, have you had an occasion to look at what is on video to see whether or not gunshots have been fired in the past?
One time previous.
How many times?
One.
All right, then he's not going to be testifying about the bullets coming in. If he's only done this one time, have you ever been qualified as an expert on that one time that you did testify?
No.
All right. Sustain.
Okay. No further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you.
In video enhancement, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. You are not, as the court brought up, you're not an expert in ballistics in any way, correct?
No, I'm not.
And in your video enhancement, you don't actually see the bullets enter your body, do you?
No, you cannot see the bullets enter.
Okay. Judge, I'd ask that the video be stricken from evidence.
Well, you better go a little bit further on your cross-examination.
Okay. That you put in, you indicated that you believe those are arrows indicating that a bullet entered the body.
I also had assistance from a gentleman from our ballistics section that was more known for doing this type of exam.
So you would agree with me that as we sit here today, you have no opinion as to whether or not those arrows accurately depict gunshots entering somebody's body.
There's no way I can prove that 100%.
Judge, I'll renew the motion.
State. Can I inquire, Your Honor?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. And actually, the arrows where you saw puffs of smoke.
Is that
correct?
So, again.
The arrows are put where you saw puffs of smoke, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not a gunshot entering the body, it's a puff of smoke, is that correct?
Yes.
And so the arrows are representing smoke.
Judge.
Overruled. This is an inquiry about the foundation.
Right.
And these are in evidence already, so your objection's overruled.
And so all you're pointing out on the video is where there are puffs of smoke that can be seen, correct?
Yes.
And those puffs of smoke can be seen from any of us sitting here, is that correct?
That's correct.
And so you're not saying that there's a bullet that went into the pond that would require somebody from ballistics, is that correct?
No.
So your arrows only represent a puff of smoke?
Correct.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Mr. Herbert.
I think that clarifies it better for me, but let me make sure I understand this.
Okay.
You put an arrow to indicate a puff of smoke, is that correct?
Yes.
And a puff of smoke is from a bullet striking the ground, correct?
There was one that I saw strike the ground.
Well, your video analysis didn't show that the smoke was coming from the person's body, did it?
It seemed to come from the person's body.
You would agree with me that a puff of smoke, as you saw in the video, is from a bullet striking the pavement, causing the puff of smoke, correct?
Objection. No. What's your objection?
He's never testified that it struck the pavement.
Well, this is cross-examination about his foundation.
Do you remember that question?
I'll just take it. Go ahead.
I don't know if I remember the objection. The puffs of smoke, you would agree with me that those puffs were the result of a bullet striking the pavement, correct?
It didn't seem that way to me.
I'm sorry. Here's the thing. Forget about what it seemed like. You're an expert, all right? Do you have expertise in gunshot analysis that you've done this before, that you know the difference between if a bullet does strike concrete or whatever that street is, would it, in effect, create a puff of smoke?
Yes, it did one time
that I saw. So that's one time. So that's one time for one puff of smoke. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But you didn't do any analysis, and I know you weren't able to, about what was in that puff of smoke, whether it was gunshot discharge residue, whether it was concrete, whether it was asphalt. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Now, the other thing, too, is that get the video up and show those arrow coming in from the opposite side, right? And nobody asked about that?
That's part of my crossfire.
You know, sure it was. Go ahead. Get it out. Get the video up. I'm telling you to do that. Pay attention.
Show it. Okay. this video, there's an arrow pointing from the fence line towards the body. And is that your indication that you believe that this arrow represents a puff of smoke?
Yes, that's correct.
And this arrow, does that indicate the direction of flight of that puff of smoke?
No.
Does it indicate the direction of travel of a bullet?
No.
Does your analysis show that this bullet represented by this arrow struck LaQuan McDonald?
It shows that there is a puff of smoke at that point of the video.
Okay. My question is a little bit more specific.
Okay.
Does this arrow show that the bullet struck LaQuan McDonald before hitting the pavement?
No.
Okay. Just like the last one, shows that it hit the pavement, correct?
Well, this one had a more sustaining puff of smoke. It lasts longer than the one that hit the ground. The one that hit the ground, it was like just a frame or two.
Okay. But you would agree with me that your analysis showed the more significant, I believe you said, puff of smoke. That was a result from the bullet striking the pavement, correct?
No.
Is it your testimony that the puff of smoke came from within LaQuan McDonald's body?
I couldn't tell where the puff smoke, that puff smoke happened at that time in the video, and I indicated it.
In any other analysis that you've done with gunshots, have you ever seen a situation where a bullet struck a person and a puff of smoke shot out?
Overruled. Will you bar up the puff of smoke? All right, go ahead, answer.
No, I haven't.
So you would agree with me that these shots are misses. They hit the pavement. They didn't even hit the quad, correct?
No, I don't.
Okay, will you agree with me that your video enhancement does not show those bullets striking LaQuan McDonald, correct?
The arrow shows a puff of smoke in the area of the screen that the puff smoke occurred at.
And I don't mean to be difficult, but that wasn't exactly my question. My question was, those arrows do not, or I'm sorry, your analysis does not show that any of those bullets struck LaQuan McDonald's body, correct?
Correct.
And what did you, what materials did you review to make your enhanced video?
Just the enhancement of the video?
Yes.
Not the errors.
We'll go one at a time. The enhancement of the video.
The enhancement of the video, I put a mask around the victim, and I used filters that we use to highlight that area.
Okay. I understand that, and I understand you used the video and you enhanced it. My question is, did you review any materials about the case to perform your analysis?
Like I said, I had a ballistics expert that
we don't want to know what he told you, but other than this ballistics expert, you didn't review any materials, correct?
No.
Okay. You never went to the scene, correct?
No.
You never spoke with the pathologist, correct?
No.
You never reviewed the pathologist's report, correct?
No.
And in fact, when you did your analysis, there were limitations in your ability to analyze the video based upon the lights from the squad car that were coming behind Jason Van Dyke.
Could you say that again?
Sure. This is a bad question. You would agree with me that when you did your analysis of the video, that you were unable to see Jason Van Dyke's gun hands, correct?
It was very difficult because he was standing in front of the lights of the car.
Very difficult. You couldn't make out his hand because of the lights of the car, is that correct?
I believe there might have been a few frames that did show his hand.
But you couldn't see the recoil because of the lights from the the squad car, correct?
That's correct.
So you couldn't tell when Jason Van Dyke was firing, correct?
The only thing I could tell is when the puff smokes occurred.
Okay. You don't know what the rate of fire was by Jason Van Dyke when you did your analysis, correct?
That's correct.
In the video that you enhanced, you're kind of subject to the quality of the video that comes to you, correct? You can't pick what type of video you get. You have to rely on whatever is given to you, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And you would agree with me, what was this, 30 frames per second?
Yes.
Okay. And
not this particular one. I think this is the slowed down version.
Yes.
So it's about 7.5 frames per second.
Okay. I believe you already testified that 60 frames per second is better than 30 frames, correct?
Well, no, I would perceive it. It's 30 frames per second is where the eye perceives fluid motion. You can start much faster than that. It's not, it may be, the quality may be better, but the eye doesn't perceive it better.
Okay, so it's your testimony that there's no difference in quality viewing it from 60 frames to 30 frames.
Right.
How about from 30 frames to 15 frames?
15 frames is beginning of fluid motion, but there's probably a little bit of flickering in these.
Okay. And 60 frames, we had one of your colleagues on the stand yesterday, and he testified that 60 frames per second is not optimal quality. Would you agree with that?
That's correct.
And it's not optimal quality because it doesn't have as many frames per second, correct?
If it's double the frames per second.
If you got 60 frames, you got 60 frames. If you got 30, you got 30. So 60 means you got a lot more frames than 30.
Right, but you would agree with me that 60 frames, that limits you in your ability to analyze the video and what took place.
Well, 60 frames would be just duplicating the frames of the video because there's not 60 frames in the video.
And the less frames in the video, you would agree with me, the more likely it is that portions of what occurred on that video are not captured on the video.
No, that's not correct.
Well, your colleague talked about it yesterday. In fact, he did. He said that when it's...
All right, thank you. Thank you. I have enough. All right.
Sir?
Enough.
Okay. No more questions.
All right. Mr. Messick is an expert in the area of forensic video enhancement and examination. All right. He's testifying here today that he needed a ballistic expert to give him insight into what really occurred and what he was seeing there. This is not his area of expertise. His testimony, as demonstrated by the examination and cross-examination, would not help the jury understand the evidence. Therefore, I'm striking his testimony. I'm directing the jury that everything that has been presented through Mr. Messick is not evidence, and he totally disregard that. So thank you. You can step down. No, this is my ruling, all right? I mean, he has no background, and I'll give you this. He has no background in what the smoke means. I've never heard, and you haven't laid a foundation that if a bullet hits a human being, smoke comes out of that human being, all right? So. No, I'm not making that distinction right now because you got arrows going the other way, and it was a little confusing for me. I thought that represented which way the shot come in. That's why I wanted those clips up there. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Moving on. Thank you. Thank you. All right, the chair is adjustable. The microphone's live, so pull your seat up to the microphone and testify into the microphone. Everybody will be able to hear your testimony, and that would be greatly appreciated. Proceed, Stan.
Thank you. Sir, could you please state your first and last name and spell both?
Anthony Wojcik, A-N-T-H-O-N-Y. Last name is Wojcik, W-O-J-C-I-K.
And, sir, you are here pursuant to subpoena, is that correct?
That's correct.
And you're also testifying pursuant to use immunity provided by the prosecution in this case, is that correct?
That's correct.
And your understanding of use immunity is that you cannot be prosecuted for anything you say while testifying regarding this matter in any other criminal proceeding, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Sir, I'd like to direct your attention to October 20 of 2014. Can you tell us what your occupation was?
I was a lieutenant at Chicago Police Department. I was assigned to Area Central Violent Crime Unit.
And specifically, directing your attention to the evening hours, approximately 9:45, 10 o'clock on October 20th, 2014, did you have occasion to go to the area of the 4100 block of Pulaski Road in Chicago, Cook County, Illinois?
It was later than that, but yes, I did.
And what was your purpose in going to that area?
I received a call from the area, from the desk person at the area, that there was a police shooting at that address. And as a normal for a lieutenant from the violent crime unit, we would respond to that incident.
And that shooting incident involved the death and the investigation to the death of Laquan McDonald. Is that correct, sir?
That's correct.
Do you recall exactly what time you arrived at the scene of the shooting?
No, I don't. It was... I'm not sure exactly. It was later, right? 11:30 is just an estimate.
And so when you arrived, sir, was there anything particular you did yourself with respect to Pulaski Road?
Not on that date, no.
Did you subsequently go out to Pulaski Road to take measurements?
Yes, I did.
Can you tell us, if you recall, when, in relation to October 20th, 2014, did you return to the scene of the shooting on Pulaski Road to take measurements?
It wasn't until March 11th, 2015.
And can you tell us specifically whether or not you made a diagram or made notations regarding the measurements that you made?
Both. Sure.
So I'm going to show you what I've marked is People's Exhibit number 228. Can you tell us what that is, sir?
That's a copy of my GPR, which is a we call it general privacy report. It's what we would take notes on during an investigation. It's a copy of my GPR regarding the measurements and diagram that I drew on March 11th at 4112 Pulaski, South Pulaski.
And can you describe the roadway for us on Pulaski where you took your measurements, sir?
Pulaski's a busy thoroughfare at that location. Business oriented. There's Burger King, Dunkin' Donuts, and on the date I was there, it started being a shopping center on the west side of the street. That was not the case on the 25th total. So say you have two traffic lanes going northbound, two traffic lanes going southbound. You have parking lanes on either side, and then there are turn lanes at the intersections.
And can you tell us which lanes or lanes you conducted your measurements on, sir, on Pulaski Road?
That would be the innermost lane on the southbound side.
Yeah, but Mr. Wilder could help you.
Okay.
Put it on. Let me give put it on a chair? No, surely. Come on.
Sir, displaying on the chair, what I'll identify as People's Exhibit number 229. Do you recognize the area that's depicted in Exhibit 229?
Yes, that's approximately 4112 Pulaski. You're looking where it says only. There would be a left turn lane and a northbound lanes, and then you see the southbound lanes to the right of that.
Now, the lanes that you measured, are they depicted in People's Exhibit 229?
Yes.
And could the witness for the office step down?
Certainly, you can step down.
And I'll take that exhibit. Can you point out to us on People's Exhibit number 229 the lanes that you went out to measure in March of 2015?
I measured between the median lane here, the outermost median lane. The median lane and here on the southbound side, the outermost striping, yellow striping, to the lane, the dotted lane dividing. Just to the west.
And do you recall what your measurements were from that area?
Yes. From, they took two measurements. From outside edge to outside edge. Outside edge of the yellow outer median line to the outside edge of the dotted white line was 11 foot 3 inches. From the, I'm sorry, the inner edge of this line to the outer edge of the dotted line was 11 foot 3 inches. From the outer edge of the median line to the inner edge of the dotted line is 10 foot 7 inches.
Were those the only measurements you made of that area on the road?
Yes.
Did you make any other measurements on Pulaski Road?
Not that at all.
You may take your census. Thank you, Swire. Are the lanes on Pulaski Road, are they the same width, meaning from the double yellow line to the dotted white lines?
You mean are all of them the same?
Yes.
I didn't measure any other ones, so I couldn't say with certainty.
And so they are marked by dotted white lines that divides the direction of travel?
Dotted white lines would divide those southbound, those two southbound traffic lanes, and same on the northbound.
Is there a turn lane for each direction?
Well, at that intersection south of 41st Street, you have a left turn lane. North of 81st Street, you have a left turn lane which would go eastbound. One from the southbound lane would turn westbound.
And on the outer lanes, were there any curves on the other side of the outer lanes?
Yeah, you would have your median. Your innermost driving lane, traveling lane, your second traveling lane, and then there'd be like a parking lane, and then there'd be curbs.
And what did you use to take your measurements?
Just a regular tape measure, a metal type that you pull out and extends outward.
And you indicated that you actually conducted your measurements in March of 2015, is that correct?
That's correct.
To your knowledge, had there been any alterations on Pulaski Road between October 20th, 2014, and when you took your measurements?
Well, there was a lot as far as establishing with the shopping center, and then with the roadway, I couldn't tell you.
But there, other than there being a vacant lot in that area on October 20th of 2014, and then you indicated in March of 2015 there was a subsequent shopping center that was put in that area?
Right. It appeared to me that they were the same as they were in 2014.
If I could just say one.
Sir. Attorneys over here for scheduling, please.
continue to hear testimony in this case, the murder trial for Chicago Police Officer Jason Van Dyke. Interestingly, after hearing from a FBI forensic examiner whose specialty is looking at video, and they did the presentation where the video was slowed down and there were puffs of smoke, and he was intimating that that is where the body was shot. But then couldn't say 100% that that's what that was, and the judge finally had it and dismissed the entire testimony, saying this guy's not an expert in what makes a bullet create a puff of smoke. So the judge is talking. Let's listen.
Keep up the outstanding work. Everybody's paying attention, so nobody can ask for a better jury than yourselves.
All right. All right, for the jury.